Hi, my name is Alison. I'm a pastor of a little church in Warrnambool called Sanctuary. This is a special dispatch from the car, far from the voices of my beloved children, as we are, of course, in shutdown. I've been thinking a lot about houses, and that's probably shaped what I'm reflecting on today. So, where does God live? What does God's house look like? Does God live at church? These are big questions often asked by small people, but I wish more big people would ask them. Because I reckon many big people haven't really worked out the answers, even though the questions have been floating around for thousands of years. Way back in Exodus, the people of Israel were wandering the desert, and they too wanted to know where God is. So Moses had them make a portable dwelling place for God. They built a beautiful wooden space, and they decorated it with silver and gold and fine tapestries, and it contained sacred objects for worship. Special priests were chosen to approach the dwelling, and a great heavy curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet fabric hung between the dwelling and everyone else. When God's presence filled the dwelling place, the people of Israel stayed put, and when it lifted, they continued their journey, carrying God's dwelling with them. Now eventually they settled down, and many years after that they built the temple. And the temple was simply enormous. The foundation stones were as tall as the building where we meet now. It was one of the wonders of the ancient world. Now the dwelling was placed in the temple, behind a great heavy curtain many stories high. And again, ordinary people could not come close. But everyone knew where God dwelt, in the temple, behind the curtain, in the dwelling, and inaccessible to all but a very few. Jesus' story begins in this context. Yet there must have been some niggling doubts about God's dwelling place, because the Gospel according to John is all about this question. It opens with a new and shocking claim, that the Word which was God and which spoke the world into being became flesh and dwelt among us. And the first question asked of this Word, who is also known as Jesus, is, where are you dwelling? Well, Jesus replies, come and see. So the questioners check out the place where he's staying, but they know that there's a much bigger answer to their question, and so they stick with him. They journey with him as he turns water into wine, spends time with people of different faiths and cultures, heals all sorts of people, and throws a picnic for thousands. They follow him as he challenges religious authorities for loving their Bibles but oppressing people. They follow as he shows up the hypocrisy of a crowd all set to stone a woman, and as he rejects the idea that disability is a punishment for sin. And they watch as he washes their feet and feeds them again and tells them, he will be betrayed and handed over to the authorities. And still they wonder, where does God dwell? So Jesus tells them he's going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house. And that in that house, there are many rooms. And whatever you might have been told in the past, Jesus is not saying here that he's going to make a place for them in heaven. Instead, through his death and resurrection, he is relocating the place of God's dwelling. He is relocating the place of God's dwelling. It will no longer be hidden away in the temple, off limits to all but the powerful few. Instead, it will move into the body of Christ, first his own body and then that of his disciples. For as he tells them, he dwells in the Father, and the Father dwells in him. And as he says a little later, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. And because God already dwells in Jesus, then when we dwell in Jesus, God dwells in us. God dwells in us. And indeed, in Matthew, Mark and Luke, when Jesus dies, the temple curtain is torn in two, and God's dwelling is now open to everyone. So here are my answers to some big questions. Question: how do we get to God's house? Answer: through Jesus and his way. That's what he says. Notice that his way has nothing to do with creeds or doctrines or right answers or spiritual laws. It's not what you know, it's how you live. And so Jesus' way is the journey of life with Jesus dwelling in us. As we go to parties and picnics, as we hang out with people very different from ourselves, as we love those who hate us, stick up for the vulnerable, challenge religious hypocrisy, and serve one another. And of course, as we endure suffering. That is how we get to God's house. Question: what does God's house look like? Answer: well, Jesus tells us it has many rooms. Question: but what do the rooms look like? Are they super fancy and lined with gold? Answer: nah, they're a bit shabby, because we are the rooms. We are the places where Jesus loves to dwell. Question: how can Jesus dwell in us? Answer: he says, dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. So he lives in us when we dwell on his word and find a home there. Whatever we dwell on, whatever we pay attention to and spend time on and think most about, shapes our world and forms our spiritual home. We can devote our lives to work, fashion, sport, celebrity gossip, or self-righteous religiosity, fear and anxiety, the Game of Thrones, or any number of things. But if we would have Jesus dwell in us, then we must dwell richly in the Word. Reading the stories, praying the Psalms, reading the letters, pondering the prophecies, dreaming the revelations, and letting this Word shape our world and become our truest home. So now I have some questions of my own. I wonder, during this time of shutdown, what are you dwelling on? What are you dwelling on? Are you scrolling through endless news feeds and statistics and reports from other countries? Is Facebook your closest friend? Are you spending hours escaping via Netflix or online shopping? Are you obsessively rehearsing your fears, your anxieties? What is shaping your world? What images, stories, values, or worldviews are you dwelling in? And what is thereby dwelling in you? And are these things serving you well? Do not let your hearts be troubled, says Jesus. Instead, lean on God, lean on me. Even when things are bewildering and moving too fast, even when you do not know what the future holds, even when you do not understand, even when you do not know that you already know the way, because you know the way, you know the way. So lean on Jesus Christ, dwell richly in the Word, and God will dwell in you. Amen. If you value what you heard, there's always more to read on our website. That's sanctuarybaptist.wordpress.com. Sanctuary is funded entirely by members and supporters. If you'd like to support the work of this little church, you can make a donation via PayPal, and you can find the details for this on the website. Thanks for listening, and I think I'll go back to the house now. Peace be with you.